Good morning, everyone. Nice to see everyone look so pleased and happy to be here. It's Monday, July 11, 2005. This is a work session on House Bill 2285 relating to administrative procedures. This is a bill that has been vetted in Judiciary, both in their sub and their full committee, and was voted out with a 7-1 vote, and then sent back to our committee to determine fiscal impact. So on that issue, Ms. Manthe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Late Thursday, I sent up some overview information and some fiscal information to your offices, so I'll just hit the highlights. The fiscal impact of the bill is indeterminate in that there are so many different variables, and the bill also impacts what I've written here is 19 agencies. Actually, it's 20. I tossed DHS and the emergency technicians out for purposes of looking at this. It depends on how many licensees or applicants would request disclosure. Depends on the number of hours required by the Attorney General to review. That seemed to be the primary cost driver, is Attorney General time to review the file to determine what information needed to be redacted. And there was some agencies identified, some additional case management. However, that was not defined. So depending on the rate also is another variable that the Attorney General would bill for services. And in your packets, I've indicated that it ranges from $111 an hour down to $44. And in the packet, I've shown you if it took 4 hours, what it would cost. If it took 6 hours for review, what it would cost. If it took eight, I've given you the variation that the agencies identified. Some identified eight cases per biennium all the way up to the Board of Nursing, which was the really high end due to the number of licensees that they have of 220 a biennium. Of the 19 agencies that this affects, only three of them could be would be large agencies with licensee bases of over 7,000, and clearly the Board of Nursing with their 61,000 licensees is the largest. Most of them have a small amount, and therefore I'm saying that the largest percentage of health professional licensing boards that this would impact would probably see a fiscal, I think I said between 3 and $15,000 a biennium.
Depending on who does it.
Right, depending on what board it is, how many actions there are. But I would also like to say that some of these, as you can see from the budget information that I provided you, some of these agencies are really small, and they may or may not have the flexibility to absorb those costs, therefore would have to come back to the emergency board for a limitation increase. There's not enough information here in order to adjust the budgets to reflect that should this be enacted. So that's why we're saying that the fiscal impact is indeterminate. It's not saying there won't be a fiscal impact. Clearly, there will be a fiscal impact. We just don't know what that will look like.
I can let you know that I have corresponded with one of the directors of the boards asking why would it take an attorney, because in one of the notices that or emails that have been sent on this, this director indicated that the director and an attorney from AG had spent many hours on redacting information from one file, which was described as having a very small file with very few documents. And as an attorney, I think that I would be in serious conversation with my staff members if it took an attorney and a person, a qualified, trained, also an attorney, to spend hours on a small file redacting certain information. I also asked the question, why would it take an attorney to do that, since an attorney normally would review the file and say, okay, take care of this, this, and this, and then a paralegal or a clerk would do that because that's what they're trained to do. Obviously, having a law degree does not make you any brighter than the people that work for you. It just gives you the ability to be responsible for their work. And as a more practical matter, after you've redacted 3 to 5 files, you'd have a pretty good feel for what's involved and could actually speed up the amount of time it would take. I didn't get a satisfactory answer from the director of the one board, so I contacted the attorney for the AG's office and again said, why, as an attorney with a law firm, why would you not delegate that to a less costly staff member? In our firm, we certainly wouldn't use an attorney to do redacting on an ongoing basis. And as of last night, I didn't have a response to that request for that clarification. Anyway, since our charge today is dealing with the fiscal, and we don't have to go back through merits of the bill and all that, because certainly that has been fully vetted in the Judiciary Committee, are there any questions or comments of our lawful officer relating to this one?
Well, I guess I do. If it's indeterminate, how do we deal with that?
It just means that it could be any amount of money. We make our decision as to whether or not we think we should go forward or we're willing to accept that indeterminate figure. If we thought that it was, you know, that there needed to be further information, we could actually ask for that. If we're willing to accept the work of our LFO analyst, and in this instance, I mean, she's saying she doesn't know how much would actually be charged or how many actual records would need to be redacted. We can't really improve on that. So basically, it's just subject to our approval of the bill so that it can go back to the floor. Or actually goes back to the full committee and then to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wisnik.
Thank you. Mr. Chair. Back to your statement that we're not supposed to rule or vote on the merit of the bill, only the financial impact.
I said our committee, as the budget committee, having had this already go through Judiciary, does not have the charge to go back through all the basis for it. And we can ask whatever questions we want, but the charge that we have with a referral to the budget committee is to consider its fiscal impact.
Okay, Mr. Chair, follow up?
Sure. Representative Wisnik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, then, originally when I was briefed on this bill that had been in the system, there was an amendment made that addressed some of the board's concerns, and I don't know what that amendment was. Mrs. Monte, do you know what was changed or what?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wisnik, I do not. I do know that there was a work group established because many of the boards did identify some concerns with the bill, and I believe that the Dash 6 amendments took care of those concerns, but I couldn't tell you exactly what the amendments were or what the actual concerns were at that time.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Monte. Because that's my concern is I was told that the amendments were going to take care of the board's concerns, and then we have before us testimony or documentation from the boards that they're still unhappy. Were the boards part of the working group, Mr. Chair, do you know?
I would defer to our analysts. I don't know. I wasn't involved with the Judiciary.
Mr. Chair, Representative Winstead, that's my understanding from one of the boards. And I will say that was my primary source of information would be the Board of Psychologist Examiners indicated that there was a work group where the boards were represented and they worked through these issues. Whether all boards, Representative Winstead, were present, I couldn't say.
President Henson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree that our primary focus here is just to focus on the cost of implementation of this. Although there is some judgment that sort of, if you think something's a good idea, you're probably more willing to spend more money on it. If it's an idea that you don't think has a lot of merit, you're probably less willing. I view this as something that I think is pretty basic in terms of fair play when someone's livelihood depends on decisions that are being made and the potential to lose their livelihood and lose their career, they should be able to respond to whatever the charges are against them in a timely and reasonable manner. With that being said, then I think the cost of implementation of this is probably very reasonable. Also, if we look at the way that the health boards are able to adjust their rates, these are primarily other funds, as we find out what the true costs of this are, and these are always estimates and good guesses, it may force them to adjust their licensing costs somewhat in the future in order to accommodate these costs. But again, it goes back to is
what's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I think to implement this program, these are fairly reasonable costs, especially if you look at the overall budgets of the larger agencies. The smaller agencies may run into some difficulties. The other thing is, as this gets to be the way that boards do their business, I think they'll be able to figure out the most efficient ways to make this information available, mm-hmm. and hopefully keep the costs in line.
That actually relates to what I was saying earlier. After this is done a bit, then there may be greater efficiency by those that have some experience doing. And, you know, some bills that come before us just are very easy to take care of. If this one, if you feel that among our committee, there needs to be greater discussion, certainly I'm open to it. I do not want to open a public hearing because I think that that merely goes back into those things that were thoroughly in the judiciary. Unless there was some specific question that needed to be resolved, and in that instance, you know, the goal is for an informed committee to make an informed decision. Are there any questions?
If we had any questions, we have people here. If someone had a question, are there people here that could answer if you wanted to do that?
If there's a specific question that would warrant that, we can have people that are here solely for this bill.
Mr. Chair, my concerns again are, you know, if I were back in the Judiciary Committee looking at this thing, I'd want to know how many cases we're talking about. Are we creating a bill here that's, you know, are we one or two cases? Is it multiple cases? What's the impacts of physical? But also, what are other states? I mean, why is this? You know, why are we all of a sudden seeing this bill? I understand the argument about protecting, being sure that the person has information to argue in their own defense. If the board decides on disciplinary action, that's one of the things I can't read in this bill is when they actually can get this information. Is it during the process or after a decision is made that they have access to the information? So, you know, I feel I appreciate your guidance as far as we're hopefully all this has been vented in the Judiciary Committee. Because there's obviously two sides to this bill, as there are most issues we face. But I don't have all those answers, and if I'm only supposed to do the physical, I can support that. But there's a lot of questions I have about this, because there's two strong sides to this, pro and con.
Well, in some instances, I think that I would be more willing to go ahead and open it up. But in this instance, this bill went through a work group, went through the subcommittee, went through the full committee and judiciary, was voted out with 7-1, went to the floor, and then for unexplained reasons got pulled off the floor and sent here when we can see there was no concern over a huge fiscal. And in all indications, it may have been that there were other motives to try and, through procedural maneuvering, get this bill away from a vote of the representatives. And since I feel that that is most likely what took place and that I haven't been able to get answers to specific questions, and I also feel like it's a stacked indication or a one-sided representation of a fiscal to say that every case that we had complained upon would have to be redacted and that it would have to be done by an attorney at $111 an hour, that also violates my sense of fairness in considering, you know, how this ought to be looked at. And so if there's a game to be played, it can be played. But for those reasons, I think that we ought to focus, since the reason that came back to us was fiscal, on the fiscal. And if there's no further questions, you know, certainly each one of the members of the committee needs to feel comfortable with their decision, whatever their vote might be. But I am not willing to open this up to another public hearing. To me, it's like dealing with teenagers that go through the whole family council. They find out what the decision is. There's a decision, there's an agreement, and it goes away. And then they come back and they say, well, no, I really want to change, and so there's other ways to deal with it. And I'm not interested in participating in that game. I would accept a motion on this bill, though, relating to its fiscal. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 2285 to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Representative Hanna moves. Representative Hansen, glance around one, moves House Bill 2285 to the full budget committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, so moved. And Representative Hansen, would you carry it?
I'd be delighted.
Okay, are there other items of business for our committee?
Yes, sir.
And seeing none, we stand adjourned.